All right, as I mentioned, today's message is a little bit different. Actually, it's inspired by a story that I read about Fred Rogers. And Fred Rogers, in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, he won a Lifetime Achievement Emmy. And when he went and received that for his bulk of work, not just for Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, but for the variety of television shows that he was a part of, you know, from the 50s all the way up, through the 80s, that he came before the audience and he stopped and he asked them to pause for a few moments in silence to remember the people who helped to make them who they were, you know, that helped them to kind of become into being. And as he went silent, people thought, oh, well, he's just joking. I mean, who does that, you know, for your thank you speech? And then they became a little uncomfortable because he just stood there in complete silence, and then they started finding meaning in that. So this morning, we're going to go through a variety of meditative exercises, if you will, of just being quiet, but reflecting on things that are specific. You're going to use scripture verses to kind of launch us into the idea of just being quiet and pausing. So what you need to do is just know that at first you might be a little uncomfortable, but just find your little zone. Your zone might be to close your eyes and bow your head. It might be that you just might take the scripture verses that we're looking at, open up your Bible to that, and just meditate on that verse. Maybe it's just to take the paper and write down a few things as we're talking about this. So, because what we want to do is talk about pressing ahead into the new year. It's a new year, it's opportunity to kind of rethink things through. You know, in our lives, we put significance to certain dates. But the reality is, from December 31st to January 1st, what really changed? The weather didn't change so much. You know, the only thing that is different is that we flipped the page of the calendar. You know, it's a whole brand new year where we begin to write our checks and we write 2019 and scratch it out and put 2020, right? So we do a variety of things like that and trying to readjust. But we also put something significant to the 1st of January. It's like an opportunity. It's a fresh year. It's something that we can begin and something new and kind of refocus ourselves. It's an opportunity for us to reflect of things in the past, and maybe 2019, and resolve things for 2020. So there are things that we should remember. There are things that we should remember of 2019, and they all really pertain to the faithfulness of God. So in Psalm 119, that speaks of God's word and his precepts, and what it teaches us in verse 90, it says this: your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. The faithfulness of God goes through generations. And this past year, God was faithful to us in a variety of ways. And sometimes we miss it, or that we see it at that moment, and it's just a fleeting thing. So we'd like to spend about 90 seconds this morning just to stop and to reflect of how was God faithful to you in 2019. It could have been an unexpected phone call from somebody to encourage you. It could have been a meal that somebody dropped off to you. It might have been money that came in unexpectedly, or a bill that got paid somehow. It could be a variety of ways that God was a new job. It could be a variety of things that God was showed his faithfulness to you. So I'd just like you to take a moment, find that quiet zone in your life, in your heart and in your mind, and ask yourself, how was God faithful? And visit those moments. You know, I hope that you found those moments of God's faithfulness. And remember, those are the moments that we want to remember. And God's faithfulness comes in many aspects, and we're going to examine that. One is that he is faithful even when we're not. And there are times that that we do things that go against God's word, that we sin, and we have to admit that we do sin because we're still in this fallen world. We still exist here. Though we're a new creation, there are times that we do not, you know, that we do not follow through. We become a disobedient, like a disobedient child. But there's a faithfulness to God to us in that. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So, you know, when we recognize our own sinfulness, and it begins at the very beginning of having a relationship with him, that we recognize that we're sinners and that we need God's forgiveness, and we receive that through Jesus Christ and through Christ alone, that we ask him to save us based on Christ's good work on the cross, that we're forgiven, that we're accepted. But that sacrifice that he's made continues to have ramifications in our lives, that when we do continue to sin from time to time and we confess that sin, God forgives us. So let's just take a moment. Maybe there's an unresolved sin, or maybe you just want to thank God for his continued forgiveness in your life. Just explore that God just loving you and accepting you, even though we sin, he is faithful to forgive us. As difficult it is for us sometimes to really deal with our own failings, we do thank God for being faithful to us and forgiving us. But sometimes the failings of others create such deep wounds, especially people that we admire, people who are Christ followers. Maybe there's something that they did that was not so faithful. And sometimes we carry that burden around. Sometimes it's just somebody has done something that has upset us, and they should know better. And maybe it's a time that we need to reflect upon that and go back and try to make amends with them, to try to restore that relationship. Or sometimes it's just simply letting go and recognizing that that's something that has happened. Maybe it can be resolved, maybe it cannot be, but you don't need to continue carrying that or allowing that to taint how you see God. When Paul was writing to the Romans, he was talking about how Israel had the word of God and they were to carry the message of God to the whole world, but they weren't always faithful about that. And in Romans 3:3, he says, "What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God?" And well, it doesn't. God is always faithful. But there's times that we recognize that people, just like us, all of us, we have failings. And sometimes the hurt is deliberate. Sometimes the hurt is not. But let's just take a moment and reflect on those people that maybe have hurt you in some way, especially ones who claim to be Christ followers. And just ask God to show you what you need to do with that. Do you need to meet with them to resolve this, or do you just need to let it go and put it behind you? You know, because of our Adamic nature, our nature of Adam, our sinful nature, we tend to dwell on those who hurt us, don't we? You know, it's just a defense mechanism. And sometimes we have to force ourselves to remind us of those who have been faithful and people that God brought into our lives who have refreshed us. When the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, he says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. And God called Paul to go out and to proclaim his word and to plant churches. And then Paul sent Timothy to the church of Ephesus because there was none like him. And, you know, he had a great heart, and he wanted Timothy to minister to them. But Paul also recognized people who ministered to him. And the physician Luke came alongside of him and ministered to him for decades. Paul would write to different people in different churches and thank them for their ministry to him. He referred to Philemon, his brother in Christ, as a faithful servant and somebody who refreshed saints. So he found a refreshing in him. And sometimes we forget about these people. So I want you to think through 2019. And who was a refreshment to you? Who brought the refreshness, helped to refresh you in your spirit, helped refresh you in your faith, helped refresh you in your walk this last year? Maybe you want to write that person's name down so you don't forget it. Maybe it's a couple of people. Because you might need to just go ahead and call them or write them a note or text them and just say, thank you for being in my life in 2019. You probably don't know what that meant to me. So I just want you to just pause for a moment and think about those people that God faithfully brought into your life to bring refreshing. Just as it is important to remember the faithfulness of God, it's also important that we put some things behind us. Especially things that kind of entangle us, that keep us from proceeding into the future, that allows us to press ahead in the new year for Christ. Look what the writer of Hebrews said in verse 1 of chapter 12. In chapter 11, he lists out a group of names of different people from the Old Testament. Some of them were heroes of the faith and strong in the faith, and others not so much. They're really a whole group of people that of different maturity in the faith. But they all at one time or another exercised faith in God, and God did amazing things when they did that. Even the worst of them, when they exercised faith in God, God did amazing things about his faithfulness. And the writer says, therefore, since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, these examples, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And it's talking about things that kind of entangle us, that kind of trip us up. We already talked about the sin, and there might be a sin that you still need to kind of wrestle with and grow and deal with and help and try to put that out of your life. But it might be something that doesn't seem so sinful, and maybe it isn't sinful. Maybe it's watching too much television. Maybe it's reading too many books. Maybe it's being too social. Maybe it's not being social enough. Maybe it's not even reading enough books. Maybe it's not learning. Maybe it's not spending time in prayer. Maybe it's, maybe you just need to reach out to people in your neighborhood. It could be a variety of things. Maybe you've become too reclusive. Actually kind of look and see what it is that it was within us. Is it something that deals with our personality? Is it just our preferences? Is it just whatever, that it might be hindering us or causing us to be fearful, taking a step of service to God? So just think about that. What might be hindering you or holding you back? And considering things that entangle us, the Apostle Paul wrote this: Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. And sometimes people think, well, that just means you put everything in the past and just keep right on moving, but that's not the context here. The context is he's rehearsing his life. He's given his testimony in the whole chapter 3. At the beginning, he talks about his life before Christ and how he was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He was a leader. He was zealous for God, in his religion. And the zealousness was demonstrated in persecuting the church and having Christians put to death. He was a tribe of Benjamin. He took great pride in that. He was up and coming in the religious establishment. He was climbing the religious ladder of leadership. But then Christ got a hold of his life and turned him, and then he became this church planter, and he was a faithful servant of God. But He's saying even that, he's not resting on those laurels. He's not resting on those successes. You know, they've done a lot of studies about companies and also churches and people. And some of the reasons that we do not progress into the future or have a vision for the future is because we are stuck in the past. And it's not necessarily on the bad past. It's on the successful past. You know, Kodak up in Rochester, New York, used to reign supreme. The Kodak photography, made photo paper, and they did all kinds of things. And one of the things, one of their inventions at Kodak was digital camera, taking digital pictures. And they dismissed it as never catching on. And now they have reduced, I think they're about 1/100 of the size that they used to be. You know, probably will not exist another 10 years because they were just resting on their laurels. I mean, photography's here to stay. Everybody's going to get pictures, and they'll need paper, right? And film. And so they were stuck in the past. They find that a lot of churches never can progress forward. They never can get a vision because too many people are stuck in the past of the 60s or the 70s or the 80s and looking at how things were done then and refuse to turn and see new possibilities and new ways of doing things. And even as individuals, sometimes we rest on our laurels. We begin to coast, if you will. You know, we've done our share, and we look back maybe with pride of what we've done and feel that we've accomplished everything we need to accomplish, but God may not be done with us. So what we want to do is make sure that we put those kind of thoughts behind us and seek the opportunity to serve God. So what is it that might be in your successful past that might be hindering you from progressing forward? Take a moment and think about that. It is difficult to move beyond our past sometimes. I mean, it might be a failure that we have, a sin that we've had, but also the successes. And sometimes even those successes are even more difficult. Paul goes on in these verses and he says this, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You can get effort that is strained to actually look ahead and to see it takes effort. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So he's talking, you know, he's focusing, and this is what we're talking about. What is our need? Where we need it to focus? So it's this upward call in Christ. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. And so Paul is encouraging these Christians to find an example and to model after them. And maybe there's some people in your life that you know that they might be walking in their faith. There's a freshness to their approach to their faith. There's a commitment of serving the Lord. And you just feel like maybe you need to get to know them a little bit better this year. That you need to make time and to see if you can just get with them and pray with them or to do a Bible study with them or just to sit over coffee and chat once in a while. It may be where you might want to meet a couple times a month, maybe just once a month, maybe every other month. But I want you to just think, who in your life right now is somebody that you admire that you really would like to get to know? Who is that person? And ultimately, we want to keep our eyes on Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And this morning, as we come, as this first Sunday of the month, of the year, we are going to celebrate communion, and we come and we remind ourselves that the author and perfecter of our faith endured the cross for us. He completed his work, and he has set a course in front of us to run. And so as we eat of the bread and we drink of the cup, let us commit ourselves to running the course that he has set before us, that we would serve faithfully,